Pray that the Lord would help us and bless us as we look together into God's precious word for our instruction, the word that's upon my spirit you'll find in Acts chapter 2 and verses 41 and 42. Acts chapter 2 and verses 41 and 42. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Well, this morning we looked at the journey of grace that we found in Joel chapter 2, which culminated in the Holy Spirit being shed abroad in the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls. And what we have here is the people that were listening to the preaching of Peter. And they got to the point when they realized that under the preaching of Peter, they got things terribly wrong in their lives. They thought that they were doing the right thing in crucifying Jesus, in getting rid of him. And now they realized the Jesus that they had crucified was the, as it says here, both Lord and Christ. They realized they'd made a terrible mistake, and perhaps you can identify with people that make a terrible mistake and their hearts are pricked as these people were. It says that they were pricked in their hearts. That means that they were devastated with the news. They were what we might say gutted. They felt like they'd been literally punched perhaps in the stomach with the news that they had heard, that all of a sudden everything that they built their life on up till now, they realized they got it terribly wrong. They thought, all they thought that was okay in their lives was gone. And they were literally guilty of killing the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we get to the point in our lives when we realize that everything that we based our lives on, we suddenly realize was just a mirage. Was just an illusion. It was just something that you can't rely on. It was something that was going to be swept away. It was a foundation that was just going to fail us. Like the prodigal son in the account there of Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, the man who'd gone off and taken all the money that he'd inherited from his father and he'd blown it on what we would say high life and party life and prostitutes and everything like that. And eventually when the money ran out, he realized he'd got nothing left. And he came to his senses. And he realized that there were people back home that had got much more than he had. And he would have to retrace his steps back to his father and say, "Sorry, Father, I've really messed up. I've done all sorts of wrong things." And he had to go back to the very wronged one. And you might say, "Well, will the wronged one receive the prodigal son?" Well, the wronged one, that father, he was there waiting to receive his son back. And he gave him back the position of a son again. Even though that prodigal son said, "I'm not worthy to be accounted one of your children. I'm not worthy to be accounted your son. Please give me the job, the lowest job in your house, so that at least I've got some food." But no, the father said, "No, you're my son. You're welcome." You see, he had to go back and confess to the very one that he'd wronged. And these Jews, you see, they knew that they'd messed up terribly badly. They came from all sorts of areas, but they knew that they'd messed up terribly badly. And they were in line for the righteous anger of God. and what they'd done couldn't be reversed. Not by them. And sin can't be reversed in your life and my life. When we've sinned, you see, it can't be undone. We can't undo what we've said. We can't undo the person that perhaps we've killed and bring them back to life. We can't undo sexual relationships outside of marriage, adultery. We can't undo these things. They're done. We might have said unkind or hateful words or stolen. Well, we can kind of undo them. We can say sorry. But we've still done the unkind thing. You see, if heaven and pleasing God depends on me not doing anything wrong, what then? What now? Because I've messed up. The wages of sin is death. That is why people die. Because we've sinned and we do not deserve to live forever. That's why people die. That's why Adam and Eve, the first people that God created, were not going to die until they sinned. And then they began to die. And we are offspring of Adam and Eve, the whole human race, all the nationalities, all the various peoples are offspring of Adam and Eve. We are born in sin, we are shapen in iniquity. We deserve, because of our sins, to die. And then you might say, well, what now? All my expectations, all my future. I thought I was on the road to somewhere good, but I realise I'm on the road to ruin. I'm on the road to disaster. And doesn't that lead to despair and depression when people realise that the future is a future of disaster ahead? And so many people today are in that circumstance. But these people were like that. And you might be thinking, I can empathise with that. I can understand that. And what happens next? Well, these people said, men and brethren, what shall I do? There's a question there. They come to the people who knew the truth and asked what they should do. And just like the prodigal had to go back to the one that he wronged and ask for forgiveness and ask to be taken back, so too you and I have to go back to the very Jesus who we have wronged. The very same Jesus with every reason to be disappointed with us. Because we've ultimately hurt and mocked and killed him. Yet, you see, the Lord Jesus is loving to receive sinners. And the Lord Jesus, whereas when you've killed somebody, it's something that can't be undone, the Lord Jesus died and rose again to show that he has overcome death. He's overcome murder. He's overcome a death sentence. And he is alive again. And he did these things for the souls of those that are lost. Jesus Christ endured the death sentence on behalf of somebody else. He didn't endure a death sentence for himself. He had never sinned. Jesus is holy. Jesus is God. Jesus is sinless, and yet he died because he wanted to bear the death sentence that other people deserve on their behalf, so that other people can be spared the death sentence themselves. You see, the Lord Jesus is able to reverse death itself to life. And is able in love to deliver us out of the road to ruin into the road for everlasting life. You see, this is what's so important. Here in Jesus Christ is a solution to man's deepest, deepest, deepest problems. The Lord Jesus is able to deliver us from death to life. He's able to deliver us from that which is wrong to that which is right. He's able to deliver us from that which is filthy and unclean and contaminated by our sin to that which is pure. You see, these people heard, they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." There is to be a turning back to the very one, the very Lord Jesus that we've wronged. There's a message to turn back to the very Jesus that we've wronged. And to receive that message. These people gladly received this message. They received the message of, don't try to solve it alone. Don't try to go through this difficulty alone. You need to do something. You need to go somewhere. And you need to let the Lord Jesus help you. He's able to restore your soul. The message of the Lord Jesus is he's able to restore your soul from the fallen state that Adam and Eve got all of the human race into, to restore to a righteous state, to a state where we don't expect eternal death, but we expect eternal life. From the Lord Jesus, who has overcome death and has borne the death sentence for us, so that we are let off that death sentence and given everlasting life. The Lord Jesus is able to restore our soul. That's what it says in Psalm 23. He, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, restoreth our soul. The Lord Jesus, we are to hear what is said about the Lord Jesus saving souls. Call upon the Lord Jesus and he will save us. And we are to do, we are to ask for forgiveness. We are to ask the Lord Jesus for salvation. Are you going to receive gladly this news? These people gladly received the word. There were those that gladly received the word. When you are faced with a road to ruin and the Lord Jesus reveals to you that there is a way of hope for your soul, we gladly receive this message. I can tell you what it was like to realize that I really did believe that I was lost. I really did believe that there was no hope for me. And then the Lord Jesus whispers his word in our ears and says words like, I've come to save people like you. I've come to save people that are lost. I've come to save people that have messed up in their lives. And we pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Please look after me. You see, we gladly receive this word. They gladly received. They were delighted that there was a prospect when they could see that they were gutted about what they'd heard about, and now they can see that there is a hope for them. What a transformation that is, when you can see nothing but disaster ahead, and then someone tells you there's a way for hope, you know. There's a terrible, terrible tragedy this last week or so with those divers that were in that cave in the Maldives, and they went down 60 metres into caves, into down under the sea, and they were pitch black. And it does appear, from what little we know, is that somehow they got lost. They couldn't find their way out. And it may be that they should have taken a rope down, they say, and therefore they would have been able to follow the rope out. But you imagine when you're deep, deep down in that cave and you can't find your way out, and your oxygen's running out, and there's no way out, and then you suddenly will be able to see a chink of light. How you'd be delighted to swim to that chink of light that told you there's a way out. Well, obviously, they didn't find that. They didn't get out. And they all passed away, sadly. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. But if you, in your imagination, this is the difference that this message that of the Lord Jesus made in these people's lives. They gladly received his word because here was a chink of light where they didn't have any light at all. Here was a potential for life when they were facing certain destruction like those people in the cave. They gladly received his word. Gladly, you might say that's a total underestimate. It's an under... it doesn't really fully describe the intense joy that when you think there's no hope and all of a sudden someone says, well, but the Lord Jesus is able to help in this circumstance. He can deliver you. Call upon him. Repent. Go back to the very one that you've wronged in the first place, because he has come there to gather his people to himself. You see, we live in a sad world where Satan tells people, you can have good following me, he says. Follow him. It'll be great, he tells you. But looking after yourself, you'll soon find that joy turns sour, that money doesn't satisfy, that the pleasures of the world wear out, and that we all get older. We get to the point, you see, that we realise that Satan is a liar. He's let us down. We may have based our life upon that, but he's let us down. We're like in this dark cave, and now we're looking, clutching, looking anywhere we can find for a chink of light. You see, the world out there, the people of the world are thinking that they deserve to be up here somewhere. But actually, things aren't as good as what we want them to be. And actually, as we get older and older, things get worse and worse. Until finally, we can't hardly do anything, and then finally nothing at all in death. It's a depressing situation. People looking desperately for a way back. People discontent, disillusioned, sad and sorrowful. But once we come like these people did and see that there's no way out for us, I'm like in that cave down in the sea, there isn't a way out. Not for me. I'm stuck. I'm lost. I'm right down here. And I can't sort myself out, but to see that there is one Jesus Christ who has come out of the lowest tomb, the lowest grave, the death of the tomb, and risen again. And he gives you the light to say, what I've done for myself is what I can do for you. There's the message, you see. Do we gladly receive that message? The one that is able to give us a glad message, a joyful message, is able to say, come into my everlasting arms. Come into my loving care. You know, the Lord Jesus did so many kind things to so many people when he was here upon earth. He gathered the children into his arms. He helped people with all kinds of problems. He compassionately came where all sorts of people were in their circumstances. and he blessed and he helped and he healed and he forgave and he received people that other people thought, why are you associating with that person? But Jesus associated with them. You see, the Lord Jesus is that one that they gladly received his word and they were baptized. As I said this morning, they came from a position where they knew that they were sinking under the water, and they came to the Lord Jesus to be lifted back up. They came to the Lord Jesus dirty, having been wrong and doing wrong things. The Lord Jesus is able to wash us and make us clean. We all like to be washed and dressed up. We went to a do at the palace in Buckingham Palace for my daughter a while back, and all the people that were there, they were washed up, they were beautifully dressed, their hair was done and their ties were straight and their shirts were white or whatever. They were clean, because that's what mankind wants to be. They didn't want to turn up there dirty and scruffy. They wanted to be putting on their best display. And that's by nature what we want to be. But we know inside we've got things that are wrong, and we feel like we've got guilt and corruption inside us. But the Lord Jesus is able to wash. And that's symbolic of baptism as well, the Lord Jesus washing us. They gladly received his word and were baptized. From a life, you see, that's governed by Satan, to a life that the Lord Jesus casts out the evil. And he comes and dwells within our heart. And he makes a dwelling place there through his Spirit. That's what this is all about. The Spirit coming and dwelling in people. When God, the Lord Jesus, is in heaven now, but he sent his Spirit to be amongst his people. And to live within us, to guide us and direct us. The Lord Jesus casts out the powers of evil, the governance of Satan. And he comes and lovingly governs and tells us, I am able to bring you on a way that shall lead to life everlasting. All these things will work together for good. I will lead you for the good. I will lead you to blessing and eternal life. And you see, those that were gladly receiving his word were baptized, and that involves telling other people, I need to be baptized. Why? Because I believe that the Lord Jesus is my Savior. I believe that I was lost and the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me. I'm not going to be baptized because I am better than other people and I want to prove that. No, I'm being baptized because I am testifying that I'm a lost sinner, that Jesus has saved, that I've come to rock bottom. I was in that cave, lost like those divers in the Maldives, and Jesus has delivered me out. I was on the road to nowhere, and he has brought me onto the road that leads to life everlasting. I was foolishly going along through life without God. But the Lord Jesus has showed me that with him I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I sometimes think of in nature, the picture of the unfertilized egg that lasts about 5 or 6 hours. And yet the fertilized egg lasts for years, turns into an animal or a mammal or a bird or whatever it might be, or a human being. But it lasts for ages, just with the fertilization process. And so it is with our lives. Unattended, if you like, by God, unfertilized by God, we're just living here for a short time. But with the addition, the creation of a new heart in us by the Lord Jesus Christ, we live forever. And it's something that all mankind are missing, eternal life. We have an eternal soul. And that eternal soul lives in your body for whilst you're alive. And then where does it go?
the Lord Jesus says he's able to care for that soul throughout all eternity. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. That was the beginning of the church. Now there's millions upon millions of people scattered throughout the world in all the different countries of the world. And it says that they continued steadfastly. They carried on steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The things that they'd been told, they carried on. They lived their lives depending upon the doctrine of Jesus Christ being their shepherd, their leader, their saviour, their guide. They were to continue walking daily, seeking the help of God. The life that I now live, I live by the grace of God. And as we've travelled through life, I was thinking, it's a bit like, I don't know if you've been up in the mountains, but sometimes you get those mountain streams and the water's flowing ever so fast and it's too dangerous to cross, except there might be some stepping stones here and there that you can jump from one stone to the other. And though there might be a torrent that would sweep you away between you and the next stone, if you jump over and get to the other rock, you're safe, you're secure, you've got a sure footing. That's what steadfastness, you see. It's being sure-footed. There may be all sorts of things that are dangerous all around, but on the rock, you're safe. On the rock, you're secure. You're dry shot. And that's how life is, you see. There's all sorts of challenges that come our way. But we are to be founded upon the rock, Jesus Christ. We are to be supported by the rock, Jesus Christ. We are to be believing that outside of the rock, we'd be swept down the river, over the waterfall or wherever else, into whatever difficulty we may get into. But on the rock, we're safe. And as we travel across the rocks from one place to another, where the rocks are, that's where we'll go. Where the Lord Jesus leads, that's where we'll go. That's the way to the other side. That's the way to the end of our life, to safety in paradise, safety in heaven. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They carried on going where the Lord would lead. And sometimes you may be standing on that rock and you can see the dangers all around, but yet you can, like when you're up in a mountain, you might reflect, I'm in a beautiful place, but I'm safe because I'm on the rock. And I can see all the dangers all around, but I'm safe on the rock. And so it is in life. There may be dangers all around, the temptations, but stay on the rock. Jump from rock to rock. Go from rock to rock. Go where the Lord leads. And be in a position where you don't want to be anywhere else other than the rock. And that is continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, being led by the Lord Jesus, wanting to know where he would have you to go, reading in his word to find out more about his doctrine. And then in fellowship, that means there is this community. We are brothers and sisters in Christ as believers in Jesus Christ. We have one heavenly Father. We may not all know each other, perhaps, in this world, but as fellow Christians, as fellow believers in God, our Heavenly Father, as fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. You see, we all have a channel into our souls from the Lord Jesus Christ that supplies our every need. And we are able to then use that supply to encourage other people. You see, the world out there, what they're wanting to do, look at Putin, look at so many other people, they're trying to grab everything for themselves. And they don't care how many people they trample underfoot getting there to take what they want and they think they have the right to. That's the way of the world. It's competitive. It's trying to take from others because I want to make sure I've got more than other people, or I've got at least enough. And yet, however much they have, And you can see that with the likes of Putin. However much they have, they still yearn for more. They still want more protection. They still want more buffers around them. Because it's not protective. It doesn't help. It doesn't give them security. But you see, when you have a channel to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that is able to, the whole of the world is at his fingertips, and he is able to give us everything that we have need of, not necessarily what we want, but he is able to give us everything that what we need to supply our every need. And then, as we then look around us and see that God has provided plenty for us, thank God for that. We are also able to fellowship one with another to say, well, here is of the bounty that God has given to me, there is something for you too. And you see, the things that we have are not really our own. It's what God has given to us, lent to us, provided for us. And instead of competitively trying to take other things off of other people, it's about fellowship. It's about supporting one another. It's about encouraging one another and loving one another and sacrificially giving to one another so that we become a family. We are a supportive family of one another. We love to see others succeed, and we mourn when others fail. And so there is this fellowship, and it's a family. We pray for one another. We support one another. And then it says in breaking of bread, and this it relates to the Lord Jesus and the Lord's Supper, where the Lord Jesus wants us always to remember that there is the bread of life given to us, but it comes to us through the Lord Jesus' broken body, which is represented by the broken bread that we have at the Lord's Supper table. And all that we have comes from a broken Jesus. It comes from a broken and risen Jesus, I was going to say. Not just broken, but he's risen again. But it's the breaking of Jesus and his body that releases to us the blessings of the bread of life. And so we are one in that. Believers commune one with another, fellowship one another, and we're level. We're on the same level because we're all dependent upon the Lord Jesus' salvation through his death on the cross to open the channels of blessing into our souls. And in prayers, well, you see, prayer is a Christian's vital breath, it says somewhere in a hymn. But is your life dependent upon Jesus Christ? Is your thoughts, your memory, your daily needs, your spiritual needs, your eternal needs, all these things, your family needs? We have so many needs. But our God is able to supply our every need in body and mind and soul. And for the bodies, the minds and the souls of others that are around us too. It's a wonderful thing to think that we can pray to God in heaven and he is able to give an answer thousands of miles away to loved ones in different parts of the world, different continents, exactly at the right time and exactly what they need. Prayer. We have a loving heavenly friend, the Lord our shepherd. I shall not want. That means I won't have any needs that I need that won't be supplied. He leads us beside the still waters and in the green pastures. That is the shepherd looking after the sheep, and basically says, as people, we are like sheep, and he provides everything that we need. He's able to look after us when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, death in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ is a transformation from our life here upon earth our body then laid in a grave, and our soul, that is the real you, taken from where you are into glory to be with him. Is your life committed into the tender loving care of the Lord Jesus? Is there prayer that your soul, your life, is in his hands? You see, going it alone through life, the way that the world out there, the big wide world, they've got to go through life alone. They've got to believe in themselves, so-called. They've got to trust that they can do it. But how, well, it doesn't even work. But how sad that is, because they'll all be let down. They'll be confounded. They'll be ashamed. They'll be let down. Whereas the Lord Jesus is alive forevermore, to love forevermore, to care forevermore. And your soul in his hands is a soul in safety at all times. May we have that prayer day by day as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, that he is our shepherd. He will provide, as he says, a table for us, or for us in the presence of our enemies. There may be, it's an enemy territory, this world, but the Lord Jesus is able to provide what we need day by day. He's able to show that goodness and mercy is able to go before us all the days of our lives. Goodness and mercy, sparing the things that we don't deserve, that we do deserve to happen to us. The curses and the troubles that I deserve should happen to me, mercy spares them from me. Mercy spares them from you. Mercy brings us and spares us the terrors of death, the terrors of hell, and brings us to glory. Because it's all to do that Jesus has borne the death sentence for us. And the death sentence that we deserve is taken away, and the blessings of his kingdom is given to us. Well, may each and every one of us know the outcome in our lives of the message of the gospel. The outcome that we receive the word. We receive what Jesus says. We build our lives upon what the Lord Jesus says. Gladly. It's a chink of light in a dark place. And continue steadfastly in those things that we've just been looking at. Well, may God add his blessing. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we do thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee that there is so much encouragement in what thou, Lord Jesus, art able to do for mankind in all of our needs. Lord, we thank thee that thou art that suitable Saviour to deliver mankind both in life and in death and in eternity, just what we need. Lord, bless each and every one of us with the knowledge of being saved by thy grace, Lord Jesus, we plead, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.